To find our text, you must turn with me to the Song of Solomon and the first chapter. The Song of Solomon and chapter 1. Where we read, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Especially these words in verse 5, where we read, I am black but comely. That's a wonderful conjunction, this word but, linking those two apparently opposite false. I am black but comely. Other translators translated, I am black but beautiful. And we have here an apparent paradox or contradiction. I am black but beautiful. And I read deliberately the 7th chapter in Romans, where the Apostle Paul is giving us a kind of exposition, if you like, of this wonderful doctrine that the believer is black in himself, that is, there are the remains of sin within us, and nevertheless, the believer is altogether beautiful. We are black in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are altogether beautiful. And so I say, that's a wonderful conjunction there, this word but, as Solomon, under divine inspiration, is comparing and contrasting those two truths which are the believer's experience, as expounded by Paul in Romans 7, where we read, when I will do good, evil is present with me. The good that I would do, I don't do it. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm black, but beautiful, in the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And elsewhere he argues that your life is hid with Christ in God. And God is looking upon his church as absolutely beautiful, being beautified with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to us. So every believer is a person who is saved by divine grace, being chosen in eternal unconditional election, and brought into a saving union with our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord's people are graciously adopted into God's family. Not only are we given the name of Christ, Christians, we read that believers were first called Christians in Jesus' own day. And we bear his name. And not only that, Christians bear his likeness. being conformed to the very image of his person, being effectually redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are born of the Spirit in regeneration and made perfectly righteous in this righteousness of Jesus Christ, and thereby set apart from the world. I am black. And Jesus contrasts himself with the blackness of the world by telling us, I am the light of the world. I am the light of life. I am the light, he says. As much as to say, there is no light in this world. Oh, there's a natural sun, but that has nothing to do with our spiritual life. Jesus is the spiritual sun. He is the light of life. I am the light of the world, he said. Contrasting himself with this sinful world into which he was born. He was willing to come into this world of sin and misery, being born of a woman, made under the law. He took into union with his divine person our nature. You remember in the very beginning, God made man, Adam, like himself. But in the fullness of times, for the purpose of redeeming sinful man, God had to make himself like man. A reversal of what happened in the beginning. God then made Adam like himself. In the fullness of times, in order to save us, God had to make himself like us. Sin accepted. And so, this blackness entered the world when Adam sinned. Blackness filled his mind, his heart, his life, his soul, and every succeeding generation. I am black. Anybody in this world can say, I am black. But it's not everybody that will say that. It's only the person who enjoys the light of life. It is only the person into whose heart the light of life has shone to reveal the blackness. Only that person can say, I am black. But wonderful, wonder of wonders, that person is able also to say, I'm not only black, I'm also comely. I'm beautiful. I'm black in myself, but I am beautiful in the eyes of my God, enjoying the invitation of Jesus' righteousness, which he wrought out for us in his mission and ministry in this world in the fullness of times. Ah, yes. I am black, but beautiful. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to say, I am black, but beautiful. The Lord has beautified his church with his own righteousness. And therefore, the Lord is able to love his church, notwithstanding our indwelling sin. I know that in me that is in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing, Paul had to confess. But the wonderful thing is that the person who has come to know himself to be a sinner and to be black in the sight of God and in the sight of other people, nevertheless, that person is able to say as well that he is beautiful. The Christian is not only black, but he is conscious of it. And this is a great distinction between the Christian and non-Christians. All are black, but there are multitudes in the world who don't know it, who don't believe it, and who would never confess it. But the Christian is not afraid to admit he is black. For his comfort and his peace and his safety lies not in his being blind to blackness, but in his seeing that he is comely in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said, your life is hid with Christ in God. Consciousness of blackness is the very first work that God accomplishes in the experience of his people, convincing us and convicting us of sin, our blackness. And this conviction drives us and draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ to get the light of life, to get that righteousness which he alone is able to communicate to us. And of course the Christian is black with indwelling sin, and this phrase, black, implies also that on account of our blackness we suffer this business of walking in darkness. There is a sense in which, in a measure, we are walking in darkness. Although we have the light of life, yet all too often we find ourselves walking in the darkness of distress. And the distressing experiences can be very darksome. But we have this wonderful promise, I will deliver you out of all your distresses. And it is sometimes the darkness of dejection and depression. And all too often, this blackness that belongs to us by nature produces in us a kind of depression. And it leaves us very unhappy. But we have this wonderful promise, I will send the Comforter, and he will not leave you comfortless. And this blackness of indwelling sin can leave us bewildered, and we are in danger of losing our way. Even supposing we have a measure of indwelling light, and there's a danger of our losing our way. That we have this wonderful promise, I will show thee the path of life. Ah yes, the Lord is able to deliver us out of all our troubles and trials and dangers, because in prospect of our danger, the blackness of danger, we have the promise, a man shall be an hiding place. What a wonderful thing it is a Christian can flee for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our refuge from all our troubles. Sometimes we feel forsaken, but we have this wonderful promise of our Savior, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Although we feel forsaken, ah yes, due to the indwelling remnants of this blackness that abides in us. Sometimes we feel reviled, but we have this wonderful promise for our Savior, arise, my love, my fair one. It's wonderful how we can call ourselves black, that we have our Savior calling us beautiful. God sees nothing but beauty in his church, because his church is clothed upon with the garments of salvation and righteousness. Ah, yes. I am black, but beautiful. And I will do good, evil is present with me. Ah, yes. There is this abiding blackness in the experience of the Lord's people. But notwithstanding our consciousness of our blackness, which brings us to the place of penitence, but we remind ourselves there is no place like that place, penitence, because it's in the place of penitence that God meets up with his people. He declares it. I dwell in the high and the holy place, and with him also that is of a humble and contrite heart, penitent heart. I ask God his two dwelling places. He has his dwelling place on high, and he has his dwelling place in the hearts of his own people in this world. Mystery of mysteries. How is it possible for God the Holy Ghost to take up dwelling in the hearts of people who are black? Are we confronted with many mysteries in this world? There is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. There is the mystery of the Trinity of persons in the singleness of deity. There is the mystery of providence. And as we say, there is the mystery of how God can dwell in that heart that is blackness. I am black. But beautiful. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. Draw me, the church says. We will run after thee. Verse 4. The King has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more and wine. Oh, yes. Verse 6, look then upon me, because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me. Ah, yes, I am black, and beautiful. Yes, this blackness demonstrates itself in our troubles and trials that we have to undergo in this world for our sanctification. Because the Lord is forever laying his hand upon us, the Lord is forever picking up the rod to smite us with in order to correct us when we allow this blackness to take over our lives. And there are the temptations of Satan who directly acting upon our minds would seek to turn our thinking away from the truth, from him who is the truth, even Jesus. I am black, oh yes, and all too often that can be depressing for us. But we have to remind ourselves of something else. We have to remind ourselves and we are beautiful, comely. I am beautiful. I am beautiful, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. And here, Solomon is likening this beauty to the curtains in Solomon's own palace. And the beauty of these curtains in Solomon's palace could only be seen from inside the palace. They couldn't be seen from outside the palace. And so it is with a Christian. The beauty of the Christian spiritual life is to be seen only from within the Christian's heart. people outside don't necessarily see the beauty of a Christian, especially the ungodly world. They refuse to see the beauty of the Christian. It is, as it were, hidden from them, as were the curtains of Solomon's temple. Nobody outside the temple could see the beauty of his curtains, but only from within could the beauty of the curtains be seen. And so it is with a Christian. All too often, it is only from within the Christian that the beauty of holiness can be seen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that beauty conferred upon the church, his righteousness imputed, the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Ah, yes, believers shall need the righteousness of God in Christ and accepted in the Beloved. Ah, yes, in the Lord, says the psalmist, have I righteousness through imparted holiness. Yes. See the two together. I am black, but beautiful. Like fish, which are perfectly fresh, though they're living in salt water. And the Christian is comparatively holy, though living in a sinful world. Believers should be conscious of being beautiful as well as black. Our duty to confess both equally, in order that we might glorify our Savior. Believers, more to be envied for their comeliness and despised for their blackness. Ah, yes, here we have a mystery. A mystery, how is possible for people who have been purified, yet to have the remains of sin still abiding in us? When I will do good, the evil is present with me. Ah, yes. The good that I would do, I don't do it. Blah. Ah, but we have this beauty conferred upon us in our conversion, in our sanctification, and this beauty will be perfected that great day when the Savior will perfect his church and present his church without spot or wrinkle before the presence of his Father in glory. I am black, but comely. Ah, yes. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Paul is lamenting his blackness in chapter 7, but towards the end of the chapter and the beginning of chapter 8, he had to declare, there is therefore now no condemnation, no more blackness, in order to condemn the believer. Here we have the glorious gospel of the blessed God. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, in the hearts and in the lives of the Lord's people, who have to confess, I am black, but beautiful. I'm black in myself, but with the beauty of the Lord conferred upon me, I am beautiful. Oh, that the Lord will enable us more and more to come to terms with those two great facts that are true of us. natural blackness and spiritual beauty. Blackness for our humility, to humble us under the mighty hand of God. Our beauty to comfort us and to create in us joy unspeakable, full of glory. May he bless his word.